Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, and welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I am your host, Alex, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Austin. Hey, friend.
Let's not forget our third co-star, my upstairs neighbor who's, like, moving all their furniture every Sunday when we record.
Oh, wow. Welcome, neighbor, who's very loud and annoying.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Can I also introduce our fourth co-host?
The refrigerator?
The fridge, yes. It has a lot to say. It's very loud.
It's like a Tesla making that artificial noise they make when they start backing up. Like, ooh.
When it sounds like the rapture, when, like, all the biblically accurate angels descend from the heavens and kill us all. Sure.
Yeah.
They always remind me of Evangelion. Always.
Really?
Yeah, the aww noise.
Oh, the Ramiel. Okay. God, if you've never seen Evangelion, you must not understand a lot of what we fucking say on this podcast.
Do yourself a favor and watch Evangelion.
Up to you to figure out which version.
And don't ask us to clarify anything, because I think I've watched it maybe a dozen times and I still can't seem to commit it to memory, and I ask Austin every time. I'm like, Austin, what's happening? And he's like, I have no answers for you.
I don't.
So that's
it's
why
vibes.
That's why I can't
just go with it.
I guess
just roll with it.
I should just accept it.
Speaking of which, we're supposed to be watching those David Lynch movies, and we haven't done it in forever.
We haven't really had a lot of time to sit down and watch a movie recently, it feels like.
Well, what have we been doing, Alex? How's your week? How's your week talk?
Oh gosh, okay. I know this doesn't mean anything to anyone listening after the fact, but we have recorded 3 episodes in 1 week.
Yes, we have.
And so I'm like, what have we done? Oh, okay, it was 4th of July this past Friday, but I think the people around Josh's neighborhood got their dates mixed up, because I didn't hear any fireworks happening on Friday. They all decided to set them off on Saturday.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. People around here treat the 4th of July like an all-month-long event.
Yeah.
In which they will just shoot up fireworks on Tuesday night at 2 in the morning, 2 weeks later. It's like, oh, okay, I guess you don't have a job. Great. Some of us do.
They forgot that they had fireworks. So like, oh, forgot one. Better set it off at some random ungodly hour. What else?
Our mission to get Austin new clothes continues, not very successfully.
You were the only one. So we went to another outlet mall yesterday, and it was very hot outside. You were the only one that purchased anything, so.
Yeah, I kind of already grew up my purchases, but it's okay.
Well, no, that's not true, because we did end up going to a thrift store after the fact, and I did find some clothes.
And I would have probably bought a couple things, too, if they had dressing rooms that were open and not covered with a bench so you can't access them.
Apparently, fitting rooms at Goodwill are no longer a thing.
No, they are not. So, fuck you. I'm not going to be able to buy anything if I can't try it on first.
That's how you are supposed to vote, with your wallet. If you don't like the practice, then you...
I already am.
Boycott.
I'm so sorry I couldn't get the shirt that had the hot dog on it.
Oh, my heart was broken.
It didn't fit me right. It was weird on me, on my body. You would have seen it and been like, oh, you don't get that.
I'm sure it wasn't half as bad as you were making it out to be, but I didn't see you try it on, so...
What can I say? I hate existing in a physical space, and I hate having to clothe myself.
Darn.
It's a necessary evil.
We should all just wear, like, paper bags and potato socks, and then we'll all be equal.
Did you not even notice what I'm wearing currently?
All I see is your, like, shoulders up. I just see, like, a yellow shirt.
Okay, what you don't see is it's highlighter yellow.
What does it even say?
It's just some logo. I got this from a conference, and it's the kind of shirt that you wear when you're doing road work on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So you don't get hit by a car.
Wow, pinnacle of fashion.
I have one, a yellow one and an orange one. They're highlighter colors.
High viz.
And they are reflective in the night. Yeah.
Wow.
And that is because I went out to take out my garbage at 10 at night, and I didn't want to get hit by a car.
Construction chic.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's exciting. But you know what? Redoing your wardrobe is kind of an undertaking.
A nightmare.
And it is. It really is.
I bought that $30 button-up shirt. That was a mistake.
You can always return it.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was an adventure. We went to Dairy Queen after, and I kind of regret that because my stomach was upset after the fact.
I got that nasty orange cream thing. It was so disgusting.
It looked like it tasted like a highlighter. It was literally highlighter orange.
God, there's a lot of highlighter going on with me lately.
I know. I'm like, why can't you just get something tried and true, like a Blizzard? Like, that's normal.
I didn't want chocolate.
You don't have to get a chocolate.
They're all chocolate.
What else has been happening?
Not much. It's been 48 hours since our last recording.
Oh, actually, I do have an update. I think I might have mentioned this on last week's recording, or maybe it was the one before that. I don't know. We've done three of these guys. I don't know. I got Josh to sit down and start playing Dream Daddy.
Okay, which one did he pick?
Okay, so we haven't gotten too far into it, but I asked him, I was like, okay, where are you leaning as of right now at the beginning of the game? I can't remember. Who did you bet that he would pick?
Sports guy, fitness
instructor. Oh, Craig. Instructor. Okay. And I think I said Hugo, the teacher. He hasn't picked anyone yet. We haven't gone on any of the dates with any of the daddies yet. But preliminary thoughts are, and I was shocked by this. I did not think he would lean this way. Damien, the Victorian / goth vampire looking guy.
Okay.
And Hugo, the teacher. So I'm kind of on the right track, but we'll see eventually who he ultimately ends up picking.
God, poor Josh.
I know. So that was my update. Stay tuned if you care at all.
All right, my updates. What updates do I have? I have listener feedback updates.
I love to hear it.
Pokemon Megastar says, it is sad to see the state of GameStop these days, even though they're bad. Two of them closed next to their house, the ones they grew up at.
Oh.
As for Pokemon ROM hacks, they recommend Pokemon Infinite Fusion because it's fun to see all the different fusions.
Okay, taking notes.
Oh, and they also did not catch Chekhov's rope sickness with Corphish getting sick by eating all the crap.
Right.
The Pika moment.
Does everybody miss that? Because, like, literally.
And they are a big fan of Mudkip, but they say they agree with us. We are both haters because while they're not the biggest fan of Quaxly's forms, James Pond will not be dissed.
James Pond?
It took me a second to figure out what that meant.
Are we referring to Quaxly?
We are referring to Inteleon.
Oh!
At first I thought it was like James, like Team Rocket James.
Okay, that's where my mind went through, yeah.
Yeah.
James Pond. I love that, actually. I like Sobble and Drizzile. Like, they're really cute.
Oh, the anime made me hate Sobble. I hated it.
Because of its whininess, or...
Yes.
I mean, its fucking name is Sobble, like...
It was too much for me.
I don't know. I just think that the newer... And this is, again, my opinion. I just think the newer Pokemon and the newer generations really suffer from this jarring sort of transition. Like, you have Sobble and Drizzile, which look like they belong to the same evolutionary line. And they have a cohesive aesthetic. But then you go into, like, Inteleon, and I'm like, where the fuck did this come from?
Well, I think it's the furrification of everything. They're anthropomorphizing the starters.
Which,
you know what I mean?
I don't like that.
It's like Lucario is so over-the-top popular that they're like, oh yeah, everything needs to be two-legged and look like people want to fuck it.
I mean, we were talking about this when we were watching Horizons. Because we were wondering if now that the starter, and spoiler alert if you haven't gotten this far in Horizons, the starters have evolved into their secondary forms. And we were wondering if they would continue, or at least Roy and Crocolore. Like, once it becomes a Crocolore, is it going to become a Skeledirge because of its quadrupedal state?
It's quadrupedal and it's long. So it's probably going to be more difficult to include in group shots,
yes,
and animate than something like Meowscarada that just stands there like a person. The best example I can think of is Ash's Torterra, who completely vanishes after evolving.
That's such a shame, because they're, like, literally the coolest designs, and I think they just can't be bothered, or it's expensive to animate or something. It's like how we never saw Onyx, because Onyx was, like, really big and bulky and kind of took up the whole frame. Like, I'm over the bipedal, like you said, furification of the starter Pokemon. Like, it's just not my thing. I like the more bestial.
Everyone's got to look like they can be in Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's the other good point. Like a fighting type Pokemon that...
Yeah.
Not a fighting type, per se, but like in a stance where they can fight like a person. Sure, sure. That's why we got Incineroar.
Yep. Whereas Ivysaur is my favorite Pokemon to play as in Smash Brothers. I'm just saying.
Well, I guess whatever Gen 10 brings us, we'll just have to see.
You're going to be able to make body pills out of the starters, I'm sure.
Please don't say those words again.
Okay, I've been going on the Pokemon tag on Blue Sky, and there is a lot of that. A lot. It is a notable part of the fandom. And I'm someone who doesn't engage in internet fandom, but it's, like, unavoidable from what I've seen.
Well, the internet never changes.
Anyway. Pokemon Megastar says that Ash should have gotten Mudkip and Brock should have gotten Turtwig.
Oh, okay. I can kind of see it.
I can see Marshtomp and Swampert being good Ash Pokemon for sure.
Yeah.
The only problem is the only reason we got Corphish is because he didn't get all the starters. You know what I mean?
Well, had to be a replacement water type.
Right, and Corphish is such a great Pokemon.
Yeah, I think Corphish really works with Ash. I couldn't really see anybody else having Corphish.
As for Turtwig, I guess we'll get there in Diamond Pearl. We'll see.
Yeah, we have a way to
I don't go. Remember the details. Okay, MVPs are Silcoon and Cascoon for evolving. LVP for Pikachu not be able to take out a bunch of Carvana. Facts. MVP for the second episode is Mudkip. And LVP is that weird Team Rocket bot that we kind of like skipped over, basically, but it was not a good one.
Yeah.
But here's a question for us. If the two of us had to write a Pokemon of the Day episode, what would the Pokemon be and how would it go for the twerps? Okay, so we gotta think about this.
Are we answering that now or can we like think about that?
Do you want to get back to it at the end of the episode?
Yeah, let's circle back. That's a good question. I think I need some time to think about that.
I have an immediate answer to which Pokemon.
Okay, what?
It's the one Pokemon that didn't appear in Gen 2 other than Porygon 2.
Which is?
Flaffy.
Oh, right. Flaffy. Oh my goodness.
We never got a Flaffy episode.
That's strange. And what would the scenario be?
I don't know the scenario at all.
Okay.
God, I just don't know.
Okay, let's think about it. We'll come back. Great question, though.
And what other Pokemon deserve a filler episode? I don't know. We'll think about it.
Let's...
Maybe that might be a next week
answer. I think if we can do some homework, think about it, and come back, we'll be able to give a better answer. So stay tuned for that. So, I guess we will just jump right in to our two episodes this week. I don't know. I wasn't necessarily impressed with these two episodes, just being real.
I like the first one.
Is that the Professor Birch episode?
Not because of Professor Birch, because he actually annoyed me this time.
Oh.
In fact, I feel like he always annoys me.
That's so hilarious, considering that you love Professor Birch.
Well... Might be a bit more mature now than I was.
Maybe. Okay, so something fun does happen this episode. I guess you're right about that. The second one was okay, I suppose.
I like how last week I was the one who was a bit more down, and this week you're the one who's a bit more down.
I think that's like, that's a human response. You're not always going to necessarily vibe with every set of episodes.
Oh, what are the episodes called, by the way?
The first one, in which Austin was talking about Professor Birch and the fun thing that happens, is Seeing is Believing. And the second one is Ready, Willing, and Sableye.
And who's going to do what? Let's find out. Flippy flip. Ooh. I'm doing the 30 seconds for Seeing is Believing.
Okay.
And you are doing the extended recap.
Okay. Well... I'm trying to think of a good, like, transition into this. Help me out.
Seeing is believing, but so is listening. So listen to this recap in 3, 2, 1, go.
Am I actually saying that? Oh. I thought you were counting yourself down.
Oh, no, I was giving you an example.
Oh, my God. Okay. Austin, are you ready to believe in 3, 2, 1, go?
Do you believe in magic? Well, Professor Birch does, because he finds some sea dot that are all dried out and are gonna die, and so he rolls around on the ground with them like a crazy person. But the main thrust of the episode is not Professor Birch, it's actually Jesse, because May's Silk Moon evolves, and Jesse's like, oh my god, I can't wait for my Silk Moon to evolve too, and everyone's like, oh my fucking god, that's a Cascoon, you lunatic, and it finally evolves, and what does Jesse say when she sees a Dustox and not a Beautifly? Let's find out.
Time. Perfectly timed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is fun. So we have a lot going on. First and foremost, the twerps are still hanging around with Professor Birch, or rather...
Who has nothing better to do.
Yeah, he's still hanging around with them, a bunch of kids, for some reason. So Ash is like, while you're here, Professor, why don't you take a look at my super awesome, cool Pokemon and give us an evaluation of what you think. So he shows off. Corphish chooses violence and chops Professor Birch in the neck, which I think would have killed any normal man, but somehow he...
But not Professor Birch.
Yeah, he's got some, like, premium neck musclage or something, I don't know.
That whole body is pure muscle.
Pure muscle. Underneath the dad bod exterior.
It's like the Kingpin.
Yeah, like a tiny head and a giant body. So everyone else is like, ooh, that's a great idea. Professor Birch, why don't you check out my Pokemon? Professor Birch sees Brock's Pokemon and deduces that Lotad has some kind of brain damage. Meanwhile, we get Jesse, who is grooming her quote-unquote Silcoon with a washcloth? I'm not really sure how you polish a silk Pokemon, but here we are.
Mm.
Somehow, James has procured like an info card, like a trading card that has some information on it.
It's like a Topps trading card, like a baseball.
Yeah, which I kind of love their old-fashioned, they don't have a super high-tech Pokédex, so they have these little cards. So he's trying to tell Jesse, this isn't necessarily what you think it is. This is not a Silcoon. This is a Cascoon. But Jesse is in deep, deep denial. And she's like, no, you'll see. So the twerps and Professor Birch, because they have to have some kind of, like, conflict, I guess. And honestly, I think this is kind of a weak B-plot.
They did not know what to do with C-Dot.
No,
they didn't know.
They didn't. I mean, they could have just had C-Dot appear with the Nuzleaf or something in the previous couple episodes, but whatever. They come across some disgruntled-looking C-Dot that are hanging from a tree. Max is like, well, these ones look kind of sad. Like, maybe we can do something to help them out.
How the fuck can you tell they look sad, Max? They have little eyes on acorn bodies. Like, well, they look sad?
Maybe he's just...
projecting?
Yeah, maybe he's just like... You know how... What is that phenomenon where you see a face in stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like pareidolia or something like that?
Like where you see Jesus on your toast kind of stuff?
Sure. I don't know. He's like, well, let's give him some water and try to cheer him up. Okay, sure. They don't like Max's water. And they're like, no, we don't want to have your disgusting water. So they're like, well, maybe we can put him back on a tree. They like to suck out the moisture from the trees they hang off of. So they try to pick them up and stick them back on the trees. But they're like, these trees are not our trees. We don't want to have anything to do with these trees. So they're like, okay, well, we have to make it today's mission to fix whatever problem these sea dot are having.
How is this helping Professor Birch in any way?
Field work or something.
If these children were not here, he would be naked in these woods.
I know. He would be like rubbing mud on himself and like putting leaves in his hair and like running all around screeching into the void.
Probably on ayahuasca or something. I don't know.
Definitely. I can picture it. Birch looks over and sees that there has been a recent landslide. So it probably wiped out all the trees they like to be parasites on. So they're like, let's rehome these sea dot and introduce them as an invasive species to some other forest.
I would say let's just set them on fire and not deal with this, because less sea dots means less Nuzleafs, and I think that we can all agree that's for the best.
Less nipples in the world.
That Nuzleaf episode really turned me against them.
See, not every time we see a new Pokemon are you going to be like, oh wow, I really appreciate that. I mean, there's a lot of times where I see a Pokemon that I'm not such a big fan of in the game, in the anime, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand, like, the value of this, and I kind of like them now. Nuzleaf is the opposite. I'm completely turned off of Nuzleaf. I never was a fan, but that solidified it.
Those nipples are a turnoff.
Ugh. So they're like, okay, we'll take you to a different part of the forest so you can, like, kill all the trees in this area. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is spying on them, as they do, with a bunch of binoculars. We get a boss fantasy. Oh my god, boss fantasy alert.
Another not good one.
It's not a good one.
I told you, most of them are not very good.
I guess so, but honestly, do you blame Meowth? I mean, what the hell kind of boss fantasy can you make with a C-Dot?
I actually think C-Dot has a pretty good design, because it's literally just an acorn with eyes on it.
Sure.
But there's nothing you can do with it. It's just kind of space filler.
I mean, maybe Meowth could have fantasized that Giovanni was, like, roasting them and having, like, roasted acorns or something.
But... oh my gosh. I would love that.
Anyway, this is not a very strong boss fantasy. He's just imagining the C-Dot assisting Giovanni with his quote-unquote daily exercise program. Because, you know, acorns, widely known for their fitness regimens and being good workout buddies.
Maybe, like, they're his juice suppliers or something?
Dried acorns?
Yeah, they provide him with, like, his testosterone and... steroids. I'm saying steroids.
Is Giovanni secretly like a squirrel or something?
He's like a 50-year-old man with that body.
That body, yaddy yaddy. I don't know. This one wasn't a good one. But they decide to interrupt Professor Birch and the twerps, who are currently rolling around on the ground like lunatics. Actually, it's just Professor Birch.
Just Birch. That 7-foot-tall man rolling around on the ground. I think he did take something.
Yeah, he took some edibles, and now he's, like, rolling around in the grass. Professor Birch is... he won't get off the ground. Ash and May and Max and Brock are just like, can we, like, go? Do you think he'll notice if we go? But he's having a lot of fun, which I guess you only live once or something. Birch is interrupted by Team Rocket, who has appeared... Jessie is very adamant that she has a Silcoon, and it's better than May's Silcoon, and gosh darn it, when it evolves, it's going to be the best Beautifly in all the land. But Birch is like, no, let me give it to you straight. You don't have a Silcoon, you have a Cascoon. Look at its eyes.
He is furious.
I know, he's so mad.
Look at his face through all these scenes. He's mad.
Maybe this is like a personal attack or something, I don't know.
It must be. He doesn't tolerate misinformation.
No.
That's an admirable trait.
Sure. We gotta have the truth. May and Jessie, obviously, with their rivalry, they get into a battle. And May's Silcoon, wouldn't you know it, evolves right then and there into a wonderful, beautiful Beautifly. What do we think about Beautifly? I know we've seen Beautifly before, but, like, overall, like, what do you think of it?
I always underappreciate Beautifly. I think it's a pretty good cartoonish butterfly.
I think it looks a lot more like a butterfly than Butterfree ever did.
Yes, it does.
So they blast them off pretty easily, and Brock and Professor Birch help May out by giving her some specialized Pokemon food, which is like a nectar, jelly nectar thing that he made especially for May when it evolved, which is so kind of him. Professor Birch pulls out a Frisbee from God knows where, and he's like, hey, throw this to Beautifly and help train it up for its contest with its gust attack.
Yeah, was not a fan of Professor Birch being the one to come up with May's appeal round performance. What was that?
I mean, to his
credit... she still isn't trying. She's not doing anything.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, he's trying to help her. Like, what the hell is May doing? Nothing. And I know we're trying to get there, obviously. But I feel like she's still pretty useless in that sense. Like, she's just kind of there. So that's good. At least she can start trying to train her Pokemon. We haven't seen Torchic a lot recently either, which... what do you think about that?
I feel like they're not interested in Torchic.
They're more interested in Beautifly?
Yeah. Okay, someone correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure Torchic is never in a Pokemon contest.
Is that really true? Wow.
I think so. I could be wrong.
Okay. I didn't remember that, but let's try to keep our eye on who she actually uses. Anyway, so we are trying to decide the next course of action because the C-Dot need help, and I'm really getting tired of this B-plot by now. So we have to go find some suitable trees, but we've moved to a different part of the forest, but they still are being very choosy and not sticking to any trees. So they're like, okay, we gotta continue on.
Natural selection.
Yeah, right.
Let those C-Dot die.
Elsewhere, Jesse is forcing Meowth to battle with Silcoon because, god damn it, if this thing does not evolve in the next 30 seconds, she's going to go nuclear. So the only solution is to force it into evolving by continuing to battle and battle and battle until it levels up and evolves. I do feel bad for Meowth because for some reason he's completely out of breath against a Cascoon. Cacnea also comes out to try to help, but I think it's knocked out pretty soon.
God, Cascoon's a BA.
I know. Obviously, Cacnea and Meowth are so far beneath it. So Jesse is like, okay, you guys suck, and clearly there's no other solution other than to seek out the Twerps and battle with them because they have strong Pokemon. So they go back and find the Twerps. We get into it. Battle, battle, battle. Very exciting stuff. It's pretty protracted, but finally, Cascoon evolves. And Jessie is very adamant. She's like, look here, see? You'll see when it evolves into a Beautifly. It might be different, but it still will be a Beautifly.
She's not even willing to admit that.
No.
We've seen Jessie's view of the world. She lives in a different plane than we do.
In her fantasy world where she met Wurmple on Starlight Hill or whatever.
Yes.
I love that. I like this next part because James pulls out like a sheet and throws it over Dustox as it evolves to hide it. And Meowth pops out from the bush with like Beautifly cardboard wings on. And he's like, Beautifly, Beautifly, Beautifly. Jesse.
Very silly and very funny.
I love this. And Jesse's like, what the hell are you doing? What is the meaning of this farce? And they're like, well, we just wanted to spare you the disappointment. She rips the sheet off, and it's finally revealed that Wurmple actually does have a split evolution. And so she looks at Dustox, and she is traumatized. She's like, I can't believe this is happening. They brace for impact, but wouldn't you know it, Jessie is actually deep down a good trainer because she absolutely adores Dustox. I thought this was a sweet reaction.
Who wants a stinky old Beautifly?
I mean, really.
She has a Dustox.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think Dustox is better. It has a better moveset, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Let me look it up really quick. I think right off the bat, it knows Psywave, which is pretty cool.
I think it was Psybeam.
Oh, really? Psybeam?
This Jesse's Dustox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I think it's just the stronger of the two.
And I think it fits Jesse really well.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that their current teams fit them better than what they had originally?
Jesse, yes. No offense to Arbok, but Swiper's more vibrant. And Dustox is a great addition for her to have. It's better than Lickitung ever was.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything with Lickitung, honestly.
Yeah, they lost. Obviously, there's Wobbuffet, the constant Wobbuffet. So that's sure. The prince of all Team Rocket Pokemon. But sorry, Cacnea. I don't like James only having one Pokemon.
Yeah, I think he definitely has the weaker of aesthetically and overall with just Cacnea versus Weezing. I think Weezing was way better for James.
I'm definitely more Team Cacnea than Team Weezing, but I'm still not very impressed.
I think I would have felt differently if James had ended up getting Cacturn.
Well, someone else is going to get Cacturn.
I know, but the fact that they... I don't know why they did that. Like, if they're going to have Cacnea be front and center all the time... I mean, I guess they couldn't have him have too strong of a Pokemon, but they always lose anyway. It doesn't matter.
I just think it's unfair. Jesse has three. James has one.
Well, like we talked about last week, he'll get another one, which, we'll have thoughts.
We'll get there when we get there. Yeah. That's a whole thing.
Okay, so moving on. Jesse is thrilled. She loves Dustox. She thinks it'll be a really strong contender going forward in battles and contests. Sadly, though, Dustox, being a part of Team Rocket, gets a raw deal, and despite it being strong on its own, she was actually winning against Mei, but then Ash steps in and, of course, ruins everything. So they're blasted off again. Finally, at the end of the episode, we get these goddamn C-Dot settled in a tree that they like, thank God, and we can now leave this godforsaken part of the woods. The end.
And Birch leaves.
Oh, yeah, Birch is like, I've had enough of this craziness. I'm out of here. Goodbye.
It would have been funny if the episode ends and they walk away and then we see the C-Dots fall out of the tree.
Oh, my God. It would have been better if he rolled around in the grass with them, too, more.
Naked this time.
Yeah, like if he just ran back after the Twerps left and just started rolling around. Oh, well. I guess we'll see Birch again sometime. I don't know when.
I don't know when either, but we will.
Okay.
Probably not until we get back to Little Root. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's headed back to Little Root. He says that.
Yeah.
By Birch.
I could be forgetting something. Oh, well.
All right. Well, that is that. So now we have Dustox. Welcome to the team.
The team's really coming together.
It really is.
The Twerped Rocket main cast lineup. Also, Beautifly. I like how we don't even mention Beautifly. Whatever.
Whatever. We'll see enough of it in contests and stuff.
All right, let's flip the coin MVP. To give Beautifly MVP because we love it so much.
Yes.
Flip. You're going first.
You know, gosh. You know what? I'm going to give it to Jessie.
Okay.
Jessie for accepting Dustox. Like, she was shocked, but ultimately she really adores it. And, you know, I think deep down she's a good trainer.
Do you think she adored Dustox based on the appearance of Dustox or because it's the Wurmple that she loves so much? Or both?
I think both. I mean, she really loved Wurmple, and yeah, she didn't know about Cascoon, but she had pure adoration for it regardless. I mean, she was really excited for it to evolve. She was surprised because it didn't necessarily turn out exactly like she thought, but she 100% accepted it after the fact. She wasn't like, get out of here, you disgust me. Ugh.
If it had turned into something really gross looking, do we think Jessie would have been like, I reject you?
No, I don't think Jessie's ever been like that.
Okay.
I mean, she is about appearance, but...
Not with the ones that she's already bonded with.
How about that? She established a bond with it, and she loves her Pokemon, so... My LVP is going to be, I guess, those Seedot? I don't know. Yeah. Just stick on the goddamn tree already and let us leave. Why do you have to be so difficult? And also, why do you have to evolve into something with nipples? Ugh. And don't even get me started on Shiftry. I'm just not even going to go there. My quote, the only one I have, I didn't think there was a lot of good quotes, but I'm sure Austin will come out with a bunch of them. It's when Team Rocket is spying on the Twerps. They see Birch rolling around in the grass like a lunatic. And Meowth says, is that some sort of new dance? And Jessie says, if it is, it'll never catch on.
That was funny.
Yeah.
My MVP is going to be Dustox.
Oh, of course.
Dustox is so cool. It's so much better than Beautifly. It has all those cool moves that it knew immediately. It's a winner. I like how it has camouflage leaf wings. And I'm glad that she's so happy to be a Dustox and be with Jessie. And Jessie's so happy that she's with Dustox and that she's a Dustox. If that makes any sense. My LVP is going to be Professor Birch for being a weirdo?
Professor Birch?
What more needs to be said?
Nothing.
Yeah, he's an odd one. He's an odd duck. I miss Professor Elm at this point.
I know you were so excited, like, when Birch showed up, and now it's kind of surprising how quickly we've done, like, a 180.
Yep.
Because of Birch's weird personality.
See, appearances are important, but personality is more important every time.
Maybe he'll do something redeeming, I don't know.
He takes his shirt off.
Oh, ooh, okay. That will redeem him for sure.
Unlike Nuzleaf, I'm pretty sure he does not have nipples. Anyway, I'm going to go with the Team Rocket exchange. Jessie says, I can't wait for it to evolve into a Beautifly. James says, that could be a long time. And Meow says, how could it be a Silcoon when it's busy being a Cascoon, huh?
That was funny. All right.
I think that's a fun little Team Rocket arc we've been on for the last few episodes.
I'm finally glad that the big reveal of Dustox is finally over. Good lord.
I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a good idea for them to do.
I think so. I mean, the anime is always evolving. Ha, no pun intended. At least it was a nice little side plot for a while.
All right, you ready for Ready, Willing, and Sableye? Are you ready, Willing, and Sableye for Ready, Willing, and Sableye?
Definitely.
3, 2, 1, Sableye.
Filler, another filler episode. We are still training for Dooford rematch for some godforsaken reason. We have decided, or at least Max anyway, that the best place to train would be at this abandoned gold mine, because definitely that's where you want to play around is a gold mine. There's a Sableye in here that is pranking people. They get lost in the mine. Meowth manipulates Sableye. They turn it back against Team Rocket.
Time.
And bleh, okay.
Well, this is yet another Corphish episode.
There's a lot of focus.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's so fun. It's kind of hard not to focus on him.
Okay.
Because at first, Corphish is very helpful. Brock asked Corphish if Corphish could help slicing up the vegetables for... He said the salad, but they didn't seem like salad vegetables. It was like a radish and onions. I don't know.
Sure.
But Corphish is helping making the disgusting salad. And then he goes over to the triangle cut sandwiches that Brock has already prepared and cuts them all into little pieces of nothing.
Salad mush?
He makes it all into, like, crumbs for everyone to eat.
Sandwich mush?
Sandwich crumbs. It's a hot new thing. You know what? I bet if you were to make that a thing, people would buy it.
Yeah, it's trendy, right?
Yeah. But May is not happy. She's not happy with eating her sandwich with a spoon. Ash is like, Corphish, this is all your fault. And Corphish does not give a shit. He's happy as a clam, or a crawdad, or a lobster, or whatever the fuck he is. Meanwhile, Team Rocket finds the abandoned gold mine, and we are told that, you know, it's run dry, there's no more gold. So Jesse says, great, that means we gotta go in there and get the gold. Because Jesse lives in a different world than everyone else.
I kind of love the implications of this. They come across this mine, and like Meowth and James are both like, this is a derelict gold mine from a bygone era. Nobody has been here or gotten gold out of this thing for decades. And Jesse's like, pish posh, perish the thought. I'm going to go in there and find the gold. And her charisma is infectious enough to be like, getting James and Meowth to completely abandon their morals and what they had just previously said. And they're like, oh my god, we gotta go find the gold.
She also like imagines herself in like a vault of gold bars. Jesse's brain is a terrifying place. Or I guess it's a happy place to be.
I know. You know, ignorance is bliss and all that. Honestly, I just love that the fact that they always seem to have these moments of clarity that are quickly overwritten by another one's enthusiasm towards something. And they're like, okay, fuck it. Fuck everything we just thought and said. Let's just do it.
God, they're toxic.
They are codependent.
So they are taking a page out of Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong's book. Ooh. Because they are riding a mine cart.
Oh my god, the stress. The stress at that level.
That shit is so hard.
It is. You can't do it perfect the first time, or even really the 100th time.
So wouldn't you know it, there's a spooky ghost in the mine shaft. It's a Sableye. At Team Rocket freaks out and they slam on the brakes of their mine cart and go in reverse, leaving Meowth behind in the chaos. So Meowth faints out of sheer terror. Oh my god. Team Rocket, which is now Jesse, James, and Wobbuffet, get back to the front of the mine, where wouldn't you know it, the twerps are happening to approach that exact moment. Because, you know, the twerps and Team Rocket destined to forever be in each other's orbit no matter what.
You know,
because it's a TV show.
I was thinking this. Half the time when we see Team Rocket when they show up, which in these early episodes, of course, is all the time, it's usually Team Rocket, like, stalking the twerps. Or they just so happen to be in an area where it makes sense for them to be in. And like, oh my god, there's the twerps. We knew they were going to come along any time now. But this is a stretch. Like, I feel like there's no fucking reason why the twerps should be in this goddamn mine area.
Well, the reason is, Max says, look at this spooky old gold mine. And Ash is like, perfect. A spooky old gold mine means I can train Corphish. I'm going to humiliate him and humble him. Because Corphish is a problem and I need to fix it. And I'm going to do that by embarrassing him. By making him think there's a ghost. So May and Max, you go ahead in the mine cart. Get some, like, white bed sheets over your heads and be ghosts so I can have Corphish shit himself in fear. And that's going to teach him a lesson.
Can we talk about this scared straight approach that Ash is trying to take with Corphish?
Well, I like how it backfires. I like how it doesn't work.
I have so much to say about Ash's, like, blaming Corphish. Like, Corphish is very enthusiastic to a fault. Obviously, he gets into trouble and causes issues. But instead of, like, working through things with Corphish or explaining very rationally, this is why we can't do this, this is how you're affecting stuff, let's work on this, he's like, no, everything is your fault. Corphish, you suck. And I have to just scare the pants off of you because that's the only way you'll learn.
I gotta put the fear of God into Corphish.
Corphish doesn't even give a shit, by the way.
Oh, man. Corphish is so funny. He is so funny because he just, like, rolls his eyes at Ash. When Ash is, like, scolding him and whatever.
I love his expressions. We've seen that several times. back in the other episode when they got separated and Pikachu's trying to explain, if you eat this mushroom that's extremely toxic, you will die. And Corphish is like rolling his eyes so hard that he basically rolls over, and he goes to eat it anyway.
He's the best. I think he's living up to our expectations, to be honest.
He really is. Birch was the disappointment. Corphish is like the unexpected. Thank God.
At least we got one success out of this.
Thank you, yeah.
Jesse James and Wobbuffet are going to wait outside the mine and wait for the twerps to come out, and then they're going to grab him. So, meanwhile, Meowth wakes up, and the Sableye has dragged him to, like, the control station that has cameras set up everywhere. Because, by the way, the mine still has running electricity. No one ever shut it off, which Max questions, but no one else comments on.
How is this so maintained? Is it Sableye that's, like, sweeping up and maintaining the electricity and the security, like, camera? Like, what's happening?
Maintaining the electric grid? I don't know.
The place is, like, immaculate.
It really is. Well, I guess he really is just keeping track of things. No one else is in there.
How many years do we think this place has been abandoned?
Clearly not very many.
Really? I feel
it
like
it can't have been very many.
The gold rush was in the 19 or 1800s, right? Like,
I don't know.
Why is there a...
I'm just working with what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Meowth tells Sableye... Well, Meowth does this thing that I hate, which he repeats everything Sableye says at him, so that we, the audience, know that Sableye is just a little trickster guy, and he likes to spook people. And Meowth says, wouldn't you know it, the twerps are coming, so we gotta spook them.
You hate this. You hate the whole, when Meowth translates for the Pokemon, and be like, what are you saying? Do you mean blah, 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 blah?
Timmy's in a well? What?
That's literally this entire episode.
I know, it drives me crazy. It makes more sense when he's translating for the humans. That's when I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Ash's plan is off to a start. How Corphish did not hear about the plan when he was in his Pokeball right there, I don't know. But he didn't seem to know. I guess he wasn't paying attention. So May and Max turn around a corner, and they are now ghosts. And Corphish is like, oh my god, a ghost. He's terrified out of his mind. That implies that he knows what the concept of a ghost is, by the way.
I was just wondering that. I'm like, how in the hell would he know what a ghost is when he spent his entire life underwater or on a beach somewhere? Has he been exposed to a ghost Pokemon before?
He knows what a ghost is.
This isn't even like a ghost Pokemon. You're right. This is like a ghost apparition.
Corphish does exactly what we knew Corphish was going to do, which was jump up and beat the shit out of the ghost.
To be fair, that's kind of the visceral reaction that you would have when something's coming at you and you're like, oh my god, what the hell is that? And then you're swinging wildly to try to get it away from you.
Right. So it's pretty funny when May and Max fall back into the minecart. They're revealed as May and Max. And Corphish is furious that they tried to embarrass and humiliate him like that. So he purposefully pushes the minecart into the mine.
Oh.
Pitching a fit. It's funny. Meanwhile, May and Max get confronted by Sableye and Meowth, and they get captured in a net that Meowth had ready to go.
Of course.
They get taken back to the security headquarters as Sableye and Meowth go off to spook Ash and Brock, who he has hooked up with. May is able to get out of the net by having Torchic use its little ember on the net. Thank God Torchic got to do something, at least.
Hey, give credit where credit's due. Torchic used to be, like, completely helpless, and May would be like, use Ember, and it would attack her. At least this time, it aimed in the right direction and actually helped free them.
Maybe it was aiming for Max.
Maybe. Could be.
The whole crux of this episode is Sableye thinks Meowth is its best friend, and May and Max are like, obviously Meowth is not friends with a Sableye. He's taking advantage of it.
This is sad. I feel bad for it. It's living alone in isolation for years. Its first interaction of any kind is a manipulative Pokemon that's like, yeah, I'll be your friend. Turns out Meowth was lying to it the whole time. That is sad.
Well, this is when Sableye appears to lick Ash in the back of the neck.
Oh!
And Ash is like, whoa, Pikachu, was that you? And Pikachu is like, what the fuck, man? No.
Did you lick me in the neck?
Meanwhile, Sableye is licking Brock in the neck. And Meowth is in his, like, Japanese stage production stagehand attire and smacking Corphish in the back of the head with a paper fan. So Corphish has had enough. And he's like, fuck everyone. Fuck all of you. He starts swinging his crab hands around and smacking everyone. And he attacks Pikachu, and it escalates to the point where they're using attacks on each other.
Ooh.
Corphish is just done. Good job, Ash. But look at the situation you've created.
I mean, Ash has been blaming Corphish this entire episode. He's literally outright stated at least twice at this point that the situation that they're currently in is all because of Corphish. He turns to Corphish and he's like, "This is your fault." And I'm like, "No, this is your fault, Ash. Because you are the person, the human, the trainer who's supposed to be helping Corphish. You put him into this situation by trying to, like, prank him and send him into this, like, mine shaft with some ghost prank. Like, this is completely on Ash, as always."
Can I just say, is haunted mine shafts even a thing? Because the only thing I can think of is My Bloody Valentine.
I know. It's like, well, there's, I don't know about ghosts, but there's definitely murderers with pickaxes in mine
shafts. That I know.
Oh my god. There has to be a haunted mine somewhere. That, I don't know.
So Manny and Max approach in their own mine cart at this point, because they've gotten away. And Max is like, "Sableye, Meowth is lying to you. He's not your friend. He's from Team Rocket." Because apparently Sableye understands the concept of what Team Rocket is, just by name. And Sableye's like, "What? A lie? Team Rocket? How can this be? Meowth is a liar. Oh my god, my worldview has shifted forever." At which point, Jesse, James, and Meowth approach. And Jesse throws a goddamn bomb at everyone.
In a mine, which...
In a mine.
There could be, like, trapped gases in the mine. They could have exploded.
So everyone dies. They die in the cave-in.
God.
Except for Team Rocket, who is thrown back by the force of the bomb that Jesse had on her. And Team Rocket's gotten out, and they think... Oh, did they get away with Pikachu?
They get Pikachu and Corphish in a net somehow.
Okay, whatever. And they're just like, "Oh, look at the collapsed mine." Meowth's like, "We killed the Sableye." James is like, "We killed the twerps." Y'all, we killed the twerps.
This is pretty intense. I mean, they literally cause a collapse, complete destruction of this mine that's been meticulously maintained forever. Yeah, I guess nobody's ever going in there again.
Yeah, Jesse's like, "It's not my fault. They made me blow up the bomb that killed those four children."
Oh.
Oh, boy. But wouldn't you know it, Sableye helped the humans escape through a hidden exit.
The secret bomb escape route in the mine?
Correct. And Sableye's home is destroyed, and it's not happy about this. So Sableye is the one to blast off Team Rocket, and we say goodbye to it at the sunset. No one's dead, but... Sableye now is without a place to live, and they are just like, "Bye, Sableye, we'll see you again." And they never do.
Have we gone a single episode without the twerps and or Team Rocket being eco-terrorists that have destroyed entirely a habitat in which they visited?
Okay, admittedly, in the previous episode, the landslide destroyed those nutritious trees for the Seedot. Okay, you disagree.
I disagree because they introduced the parasitic Seedot into a different part of the forest.
Oh.
So potentially, depending on where they left the Seedot, could have far-reaching implications in the overall health of the ecosystem because we don't know what kind of Pokemon are there that now the Seedot could potentially be driving out because of the competition. So...
Okay, how about this one? Keanu was the one who vacated all the Golbats from their home for his secret base. Okay. And then Team Magma's Drildo created more of a disruption. But I don't think the twerps did anything in that one. Am I wrong?
No, that's true. Well, not the twerps, but Professor Birch was destroying Wingle nests when we first met him.
Oh, good point. Yes, yes.
So there has been some level of destruction of habitat by one of the main characters.
We need to get them the fuck out of Dewford Island. They are destroying it.
I know.
This Dewford is why you can't access it in the game.
It's going to be like, it can't recover. There's going to be like decades and decades of restoration that has to happen as a result of the twerps tromping around, just unrestricted.
God, they've been there for like weeks, just like destroying shit.
I know. God, somebody stop them.
All right, I'll just say it. Did you think someone should have caught the Sableye?
Yes, actually my last note is, poor Sableye crawls off into the sunset all alone because his home, like you said, was destroyed. And it's too bad Ash didn't catch it because I really think it would have been a cool Ash Pokemon.
Unfortunately, I think the sixth Pokemon Ash does catch is a better Pokemon for Ash.
I can't remember what else he catches, to be honest.
It's a snowy one.
Oh! Oh my god! Okay, yes, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
But Sableye would have been cool.
I think James should have caught it.
Oh man, that would have been cool too. But how would it have worked out where James could have formed a bond with Sableye?
It would have had him into a different episode.
Yeah.
I think James would have been the one caught in the mind with it, not Meowth.
Oh, yeah, then we wouldn't have Meowth's, like, stupid translation bullshit that we had to go through.
Right.
Like, maybe James could have bonded with it and been like, he could have been super dramatic in the way that he is, where he's like, I know what it's like to be abandoned, or something. Right. I don't know.
I know what it's like to grow up alone.
Yeah, even though he grew up, like, rich beyond imagination.
He was a poor little rich boy.
Sure. Oh my god, wouldn't that have been such a better episode if he had, sympathized with him?
I want it.
All right, well,
nope.
I guess we got our intro to Sableye. Great.
Now I'm thinking about it. Cassidy has a Sableye.
Who?
Cassidy.
She does?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that does that count? Is that one of, like, the Team Rocket rental Pokemon, or is that her?
I'm sure it is.
Pokemon. I don't think that counts, because when would that have shown up? Was that a Chronicles episode?
It was.
Eh, I wouldn't count it then.
They would have given her, like, a Mawile or something instead, and James could have the Sableye.
Oh, that would have actually been really good, now that I'm thinking about it. It has that trickstery, like, dumb quality to it. Like, it's goofy. Right.
I think it could have been, like, the new Wobbuffet, to be honest, but...
Yeah, it's kind of the ineffectual... And it's small, too. It's kind of small, impish. Could have attacked James or... You know what? Oh, my God. It would have been really cool if James had his, like, bottle caps out and stuff. And, like, they're shiny, like, gems. And so it would try to eat the bottle caps...
Oh, no.
I don't know. Maybe that would have been the antagonistic sort of back and forth.
Oh, that's too good. Oh, well.
What could have been? Anyway, all right. Who is our MVP, LVP, and best quotes that we picked?
Flippy flip. You're first.
Okay. You know what? My MVP is going to be Sableye, I guess.
Yay.
I don't know. I never
it's
really.
It's charming.
It is. I never really thought a lot about Sableye, and it's not one I've ever used. I just typically try to avoid single evolution Pokemon, but this episode made me like it, and I felt bad that it lived alone in a mineshaft for years all by itself, and it just wanted a friend, and it was cute. My LVP is going to be Ash, of course, as always, Ash, for continuing his trend of being a bad trainer. And crafting a scenario to fuck over Corphish and then blaming Corphish when everything went wrong. Not a good look, Ash. My quote is the only one that I have again for this episode. This is at the end where they make off with Corphish and Pikachu in the net when they're escaping the mine. Talo, we didn't mention Talo, but Talo came out of the Pokeball for a split second and it was pecking at Jesse's hair. And Jesse starts screaming, "Stop that insidious pecking! You're going to ruin my hair! It's a lot of work to get it this way!"
Which is funny, because we know that's not true.
I know, she just, like, shakes her head and it turns back into that, but...
Magically goes in that shape.
But every time Jesse makes, a hair joke, I think it's funny.
Okay, my MVP... I guess I'm going to give my MVP and LVP to Corphish.
Ooh.
Because Corphish is a problem. Like, let's be real. He's out of control. He's just smacking everyone all the time. He needs to be taught, no, we don't do that. I know it's, you know, what you do, but it's not acceptable. Especially if you do it to people who aren't us. He really is just a lot to handle. So he's an LVP. He needs to be reined in. Ash was right in that Corphish needs some socialization training. He went about it the wrong way. Like, this was bad call. Yikes. Not good.
Yeah.
I think a later season's Ash would have had a much better approach, but not this Ash.
What, his whole, like, let's hold hands and be friends, kumbaya approach to everything?
Yeah, he'd be like, let's find a way to channel Corphish's energy into something else and, you know, teach him it's okay to be excitable, but not cause physical violence to others and that kind of crap, you know?
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And he would not have been, like, all mad at Corphish. He would have been like, oh, Corphish, I know you were trying to help with the sandwiches. Next time, let's not do that unless, you know, we're told to cut things up. Whereas this Ash, we're still early-ish Ash, and he's still kind of pig-headed.
I think later seasons Ash would probably have blamed himself for some shortcoming and be like, how have I done wrong to make it so Corphish is acting out like this? You know, I've got to figure out a way to get through to him and... like you said, help him channel his energy in a healthy way or something.
Right. Solutions-based, not blame-based.
Yeah, not punishment-based.
Yes. But my MVP is still going to be Corphish, because Corphish is fucking funny.
It has
He's fun. He drives the plot.
Yeah.
He's expressive. He drives plot. It's been Corphish time all the time. It's great.
Corphish time all the time.
My quote, I had a couple, and they're more delivery-based, so they're not that great for me to read. I'm going to go with Max, who's very skeptical of this whole ghost plan. He and May are ghosts, and May is going like, ooh, the whole time, as you hear Max monotone going, I'm a ghost. Boo. We're scary.
I love Max. Oh, wow. Okay. Is that all your thoughts, Austin?
All my thoughts. I'm empty-headed, just like Jesse and Corphish.
You'll have to fire up the old neurons and tell us, think ahead, what's next week?
Well, I hope you're a fan of Meowth talking to Pokemon and translating back what they're saying.
Oh, golly gee. I am so excited.
Next is a Chronicles episode.
Oh, okay.
Called Big Meowth, Little Dreams.
Big Meowth, Little Dreams. Okay. I don't recall what that...
Want me to just tell you? So you know in advance what it
sure,
is?
Sure. Just give me a... Give it to me straight.
PG Brothers episode.
Oh, fuck. Are you kidding?
Yep.
No. Okay. You know what? No. I'm going to be positive about this. We're going to enjoy that Pichu Brothers episode. God damn it.
Maybe Wooper will do something exciting.
Maybe it will. I don't know. Nothing could top Wooper like getting swept away in a raging current and just being like, yes, this is perfectly fine.
Not even him sneaking along the ground with his head staying on the ground as his body scoots forward.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, Wooper is great.
Please do something cute.
Yes, please, Wooper. Save us.
Save us from this hell.
And back into the canon world in an advanced episode, it's a Metatite fight.
Well, thank you, Austin. Look forward to that. I think it'll be very exciting. As always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening. We really enjoy it when you all reach out to us and share your feedback, thoughts, pose questions. So please get in touch with us. Our Gmail account is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on Blue Sky. Austin posts really funny stuff over there all the time. So give us a follow. Check us out over there. Our handle is @outofthedryingpan. We also have an Instagram. Please follow us over there too. Same handle @outofthedryingpan. We also have a Patreon. If you like what we do and would love to support us, we would really appreciate it. Check it out. The link is in the description. We have all kinds of cool bonus content that you could take advantage of. Also, we would love it if you would leave us a 5-star review and a rating. Leave us a comment. We would appreciate it. It really helps us out also. And as always, of course, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope to see you next week as the journey continues.